Hello and welcome to the Cross Thread Off-Road Podcast, where we discuss what's happening in Minnesota with off-roading and the off-road world. I am your host, Mitch Mose. Hey, thanks for coming back. I just wanted to go over some listener feedback. I got some listener feedback through my Facebook and Instagram page, but I want to feature one. It's from a young man named Derek, and he had some good ideas and questions, I guess you could say. He said, "My name is Derek, and I am a college junior engineering student. Love the podcast, and I have an 89 YJ that I picked up for cheap, and I plan on building it up. I was wondering if you could do a podcast on the most important upgrades in your opinion, and what upgrades you would do." I actually got back to him one-on-one. I just kind of messaged back some different ideas. As far as the YJs, I got a TJ. So they're similar, but they're different. Obviously, YJ is loose sprung versus the springs that are on the TJ. I'm not sure if it's a more inexpensive or more expensive way to lift and do some things. But I actually said, you know, this is my personal opinion. I just said, you know, you go with a winch first. Well, before you even get that far, I told him, make it safe and reliable. Brakes, motor, steering, that type of stuff. Make sure it can stop and go and get you the trail and back. So I started with that, just some simple stuff. And then I suggested a winch, and I kind of talked about the Smitty belt that I currently have with some synthetic line. There's some more less expensive ones out there. It's just the one that I've had good luck with. I suggested a lift, talked about maybe doing a T-case drop if needed, if how big of a lift he went with. Then I talked about some tire suggestions for him, and I kind of preface it with the idea of, like, I'm not sure how big he wants to make it or how crazy he wants to get, but that's kind of the suggestions I made. So thanks, Derek, for checking in with us. And he also asked about some upcoming wheeling events, so I kind of looped him back to the winter wheeling episode. So listen to that one, because we definitely discussed that in that episode. So that's Derek, and hopefully you keep on listening. And if you guys want to kind of chime in a little bit and ask me some questions, I can definitely answer them. Again, I am an enthusiast, not an expert, so I'll give you my opinion and my thoughts, but definitely some other people that might know a little bit more. But that's kind of my suggestion for Derek. And so if you have some other questions, whatever, just go ahead and hit me up through Facebook, on the Facebook page, through Cross Thread Off-Road Podcast, or the Instagram at Cross Thread Off-Road. Hey gang, if you would like to support the podcast, you can go to the link that I provided in the show notes right at the end. It says Apparel Store. It's a Teespring link. Kept the prices pretty fair, and just know that every dollar you spend kind of helps out the podcast. Thanks a lot. Again, here, this is Crossroad Off-Road Podcast, and I'm joined here today by Ryan Harden. He's off of the roadlegal4wheeldrive.com site. It's called rl4wd.com. Thanks for coming, Ryan. How you doing?
Hey, how you doing? Good to see you.
Good. Hear ya. Awesome. So this is my second remote, and hopefully we got this figured out by now, but hopefully it'll sound a little better for my listeners here, the listeners. We kind of did some changes to how I record, so this should sound better for us. So Ryan, tell us a little about about the website and your club. Is it a website first or a club first? Kind of fill me in on that.
Well, it's an association to assist local clubs around the world, around the country, around the state of Wisconsin, and the Midwest is where we really originate from. And we provide those resources and tools for our local chapters. We have a universal membership. We do monthly events. We're teaching people how to ride trails. We're teaching clubs how to get trails and preserve those trails and keep them going as long as possible.
Yeah, notice that your tagline, trails, education, and preservation, is that your main tagline? It was kind of like a subtitle, I would say.
Yeah, those are the three main topics that we hit on. You know, we focus on trails, we educate people how to use them, we educate folks how to build them, and then we preserve them with, you know, our trail ambassador program, volunteers that go out and, you know, review those trails. We are basically the eyes and the ears of those trails as a whole. So associations can use our resources. Members can use our resources. Land managers can use our resources. We're here to serve, you know, the riding public for Road Legal Four-Wheel Drives.
Good deal. So tell me about your role. What's your role in the whole thing?
So right now I'm the director for the nonprofit, which is the association. We are getting ready to also launch a for-profit for things that would otherwise jeopardize the nonprofit. You know, legally, there's things that a nonprofit can't do. Mm-hmm. But if there's things that we need to do, such as lobby work and, you know, lots of advertising, public, you know, doing our own publications, those types of things are more structured for a for-profit. We have a lot of merch and stuff that we're looking to sell and that kind of thing. The goal of the for-profit is to raise money for the nonprofit and serve the nonprofit's grant. We have a grant committee that chapters can apply for. We have a universal membership, which raises funds for the local clubs as well as the organization. And it's just a really good tie-in to making sure that all of our ducks are in a row and that we protect that nonprofit.
Oh,
so
cool. And that's awesome. I'm glad you're here. You're doing all those things. I didn't know that about you, but you're all working
yeah.
on it. So when's the for-profit side going to launch for you? Is that
We have a nonprofit board meeting coming up here January 11th, and we are preparing for our annual Midwest meeting, which is in April, which is kind of a meeting for all of the different associations in Wisconsin, as well as some of the Midwest. And it's kind of like a motorsports mecca of meetings, because the ATV, UTV folks are there, the snowmobile folks are there, the motorcycle folks are there. We have, you know, presentations from DNR and ham radio guys and gals. And, you know, it's kind of where we can all talk as a motorsports community on common issues. Mm-hmm. And then we branch out into our own, you know, separate meetings. So we can kind of utilize that convention space in Stevens Point. It's a huge Holiday Inn convention center. So
and when is that? When is that one?
For the annual meeting, if you go to rl4wd.com, right at the top of the page, all of the events are listed right at top. And it's the Midwest annual meeting, which is the first weekend in April, 2020. We try to do it around the first of the of April every year. So,
oh, cool. So we're going to get into a lot of those tabs that are on your website. I was perusing a little bit yesterday, just trying to see what's all on there. And it's got a lot of different popular points. But first, I want to back up a little bit. How'd you get into off-roading? How'd you get into this? Because you have an interesting story.
Yeah. So, you know, our family, my father created the NOVAC, National Off-Highway Vehicle Conservation Council, by request of some of the manufacturers. And that was, oh my gosh, 1996. We have been a motorsports family our whole life. I got my first three-wheeler when I was 3 years old, 3.5 years old. We were safety instructors for the ATV Safety Institute, Specialty Vehicle Institute of America, Motorcycle Safety Foundation. And when I met my wife, she had a Jeep TJ. And I'm like, oh, okay, you know, we'll take the top off and cruise by the lake. Oh, all right, I get it. It's like a big UTV. That's awesome. And it's like, all right, let's go join our local Jeep club. There was none. I'm like, oh, it has been defunct for years and nobody was doing events. And it's like, well, crap. Now we got to do it on this side. So I switched directions and focused on 4x4s. And I realized very early on we had a small club called Wrangler Riders. We just had Jeep Wranglers. Didn't want to start too big.
Mm-hmm.
And we ran that, you know, I ran one. It's all started with one Facebook event. And we were just doing like a cruise by the lake and ride down the gravel roads in the local Kettle Moraine State Forest. Okay. Parking lot was full. I mean, there was so much need to be able to introduce off-roading to people who haven't gone off-road, and also supply folks who are very poised in off-roading with trails that they want to ride on.
Yeah.
So we're like, wow, this really could work here. You know, and Wisconsin doesn't have an off-road registration program for 4x4s. Mm-hmm. It's like every other sport except 4x4s, which is really weird to me. But we've helped put these kind of things in place on the ATV side and help the motorcycle folks get their program going. And, you know, with all the folks that we know in that process of getting a public program started, we basically just applied what we learned on the ATV and UTV and motorcycle side. And we're making a lot of headway over on the 4x4 side.
Well, that is awesome. That's awesome.
Yeah. And we started with the road legal part because there's a very big difference in the types of trails that you would build for a road legal four-wheel drive as opposed to a, you know, full-on 1,000 horsepower four-way steering rock bouncer.
You know,
those are in completely different worlds, even though they're classified as 4x4s. There really needs to be a little bit more classification because your rock bouncer guy is going to be bored to tears riding down gravel roads, but they won't do it. I mean, just they won't do it. So it's a different type of recreation, and we had to identify what types of trails we wanted to concentrate on, where would we want to start, and how can we help, you know, through that diversification. And 99% of the market lives on, you know, vehicles that are both on-road and off-road. They're the daily drivers. They're the weekend warriors. They're the, you know, mom and dads who want to take the kids to soccer practice. They got this four-door Wrangler or, you know, 4Runner or whatever, and they want to go take it on the trail sometimes. Mm-hmm. You know, that's the bulk of our market that pretty much pays for everything.
Yeah. You know? Yeah, that's a nice sweet spot there. I kind of like that. And how big is the club? It's one of my things I wanted to ask you because I hear a little backstory. I contacted Ryan through their Facebook page last week. I just said, you know, hey, I want to interview somebody from your group and I want to advertise a little bit on your page for the podcast to kind of get more people. And then Ryan said, I'm the guy you need to talk to. So that's kind of how we met. And then we set up a time to get on the phone. And he said, well, we got a pretty big group. Then Monday morning, he texts me and he says, I was working with some clients and he said, about to blow up your Facebook page. Just watch. And he put out some notice. I don't know what you did, Ryan, but before that moment, I had 29 followers on my Facebook page for the Crossroad Off-Road deal. And I had posted on Sunday, hey, you guys can follow me here. I was hoping to get, you know, 10 or 15, maybe. Right before we got on the phone, I was at 229. So you got me 200 people since Monday. Today is Thursday as we're recording here. So between, you know, I like to take a tiny bit of credit for telling people to go on my page, but I think mostly it's from you. But how many people are part of your program, your roadlegal4wheeldrive.com? How many people are part of that?
Well, we got, you know, thousands of people who follow our social media accounts, mainly on Facebook, a little bit on Twitter, very few on Reddit, and some on YouTube and such. You know, there's hundreds in there. Our Facebook group for just Wisconsin just rolled 1,000 this morning. So we're over 1,000 in the Facebook group. We have about 700 members in that have profiles on the website as at the time of this recording. We're seeing an average of 3 to 10 new subscriptions a week. And, you know, there's a free membership and then there's a premium membership that gets you your membership card, the universal membership program, free, you know, t-shirt and all this stuff and the discount programs from our resellers and stuff. And it's a nice thing, but we wanted to let you test drive the website first. We want to show you what we're doing and how much of an impact we're making. We're not here to just, you know, we're not a fake group. We're not a Facebook only group who's out there to just sell you stickers and stuff.
Yeah.
You know, we're actually out there building trails. We're utilizing the funds, putting it on the ground, making signs, you know, getting landowners, figuring out the tough stuff like landowner insurance. You know, we're opening those gates for those clubs so that we can do this affordably. And you join the universal membership, and then your membership's good at all of the chapters. So you only have to join one thing.
And so what I'm going to put on my, in the show notes here for you, Ryan, too, if people, I don't know how they, you can go into show notes and actually look at different things that I put on there, but I'm going to put on your website, and then people can kind of go to there that if they need a link to go to it, but rl4wd.com, easy enough to type it in yourself. But also on the socials, I noticed I asked Ryan for some pictures, and he sent me a bunch of pictures. It looked like you were doing a few things like building some trails and doing some trail cleanup. I'm going to post all those on my different sites. So explain, you probably have your phone right in front of me, what you sent me, but explain a few of those pictures that you sent me, what you're all doing in those pictures, because that's important too.
Yeah. So, you know, besides the rides, you know, the rides kind of raise awareness for what we're trying to do. And there's two distinct types of trail. There's the overlanding, flatter level, you know, 0 to 3 trail. And then there's the slow speed trail, which is kind of like the cream of the crop. And that's really what we're trying to build, is the slow speed trail, because in Minnesota and Wisconsin and Iowa and Illinois and Michigan, we got gravel roads coming out our ears. Mm-hmm. So that's really not a problem. It's the, let's get more slow speed trails and connect those trails, you know? So a lot of these pictures that I'm showing you are a collaboration of keeping trails open, educating folks on, you know, the different types of trail rides we do. We do overlanding trips. We do slow speed crawling trail stuff. We have what's called the Trail Ambassador Program. If you go to trailambassador.com, that's the parent site. We're Division II, which means we are the World Legal Four-Wheel Drive division. There is an ATV division. There's a motorcycle division starting. But basically, these trail ambassadors, you know, we are out there to volunteer to patrol trails. And then you can get your guide certification so you can actually take groups out, you know, and, you know, there's like 5 rigs per ambassador rig. And we always try to have at least 2 ambassador rigs. But the what we're trying to do with that is it's a volunteer group that you can do either as a club, as a chapter, or you can do it as, you know, as something where you have, maybe you don't have a club, you know, maybe you start as a trail ambassador, you take the training and then you do a few events and then, you know, it becomes a club, you know, you got to like start somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And starting with a club typically can be a little daunting if there's only, you know, a handful of people, but once you do a few rides, once you start to identify some of this stuff, these are the things we put in our, we have an actual club starter packet of, you know, everything on how to register a nonprofit, how to host meetings, how to work with land managers. It's about 75 pages and it kind of just walks you through it. So,
yeah,
these pictures are kind of like, you know, the one wherever we're standing on the rocks and such, we have a VIP ride. So we work with state legislators, we work with DNR personnel, tourism. I mean, the Secretary of Tourism, she was in that event. You know, we take them out on trail riding. We get them to show, we got to show people what, you know, going riding means. Because you say, oh, we're going to, you know, take the 4x4s and we're going to show you how to run trails, or we're going to, let's go wheeling with 4x4s. People who don't have one typically think of the wrong things of what that means. You know, they're, well, what media is accessible, you know, and, you know, what do you see? You see redneck yacht club stuff. You see, you know, blaring through cornfields. And I mean, there's just a bunch of things that people think of that negatively impact our ability to get trails. So from an image standpoint, we're doing this the right way. You know, staying on the trails, you know, building slow speed stuff. It's more about the crawling and the overlanding. You know, it's less about, you know, we don't want people trespassing and, you know, going through, you know, the bean field or the cornfield or whatever. I mean, that kind of stuff is very detrimental in trying to keep and grow trail systems. So
Well, perfect, Ian. I'll have those pictures on the, like I said, on the different socials so you guys can see those. Next thing I want to talk to you about is the website itself. It has a lot of information. You alluded to a lot of those things already, but I wanted to talk about each one and maybe a couple minutes on each one on different tabs that you have. And as I was going through it, one of the first things that it was very popular a few years ago, where it probably still is right now, is forums, where you can ask some questions. Kind of touch on the forum section a little bit for us.
Sure. So we're breaking down our forums. We're living in a day and age where people have different opinions about what a forum is. And thanks to social media and how timelines are laid out, you know, Facebook is a forum. Mm-hmm. YouTube technically is a forum. But how information is presented, you know, those timelines can get, information can get buried and lost very quickly. So we still found it very appealing, especially to the old school guys and gals who prefer that older format, to have a traditional forum. Mm-hmm. So we're breaking it down by, you know, where to ride, trail gear, you know, communication gear. And then we're making an extensive breakdown, which is taking a lot of time, on the different generations of Jeeps and Toyotas and stuff. So that, you know, if you have a question about, you know, what axle works in my TJ, there's actually a drivetrain TJ forum to post that, you know, mm-hmm. what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's trying to keep the information organized enough to find it. Mm-hmm. So
that's good. And a lot of people still go through those forums to kind of hear individual stories. Like if somebody said, yeah, I had a Dana 35 in my rear end, can I just plop in a Dana 44? And people, you know, that's what people would want to do. Can you actually do that? And maybe 10 people said, yes, I've done that. And this is how you do it. So that's a good thing to have. And I noticed a little bit, you had a rule section too. And you talked about it, where people can use those for their own clubs too, like rules for the trail. Tell us a bit about that piece.
Yeah. So like the trail rules, the common ethics of how trails are utilized. These are very generic things. And we have some old, you know, on the rules tab, there's, you know, gear for the trail from our old Wrangler Rider stuff. We're working on updating all of our pages to say road legal four-wheel drive. And we're actually even putting together an education part of the site to make it interactive. So you can take courses, you know, you can answer the quiz questions, you can get the badges on your profile so that people, you know, when you're on that site, there's kind of some credentials along with it to, you know, not only talk the talk, but walk the walk and make sure you know what you're talking about. So we do a building block approach, and trail rules is probably the first one, you know, mm-hmm. talk about basic things. Don't go off trail. Don't cut switchbacks. You know, just all the basic stuff. You'll see a lot of that same verbiage on Novak and Tread Lightly and Blue Ribbon Coalition and, you know, all of the, you know, SEMA stuff. I mean, we're all utilizing basically the same information just in our ways. Mm-hmm. So.
And another thing, I know another thing you want to talk about too, and this is another tab on there, was a ratings tab. And right now, if people don't know, there might be a 1-4 rating somewhere. It might be a color code somewhere else. But you were trying to put together a universal rating system. I know that's something when we got on the phone and talked earlier, that was a big deal to you. So tell us a bit about what you're doing and what's out there right now and what you're trying to put together for everybody.
Yeah, so the trail rating system, like you said, you know, as a wheeler coming in, on the ATV and UTV and motorcycle side, we don't, you know, we have trails. there's not a lot of rating going on in Wisconsin. There's nothing, basically. There's no rating system for snowmobile, ATV, or UTV, or motorcycle. But if you go to, like, Gilbert, Minnesota, sure, they have a little rating system. You go to Badlands, Indiana, they got a rating system. But that rating system is not the same as if you go to S'more, Southern Missouri Off-Road Park, which isn't the same as going to Hollister Hills, California, which isn't the same as going to Moab, Utah. They all use, some use a 10 scale, some use a 5 scale, some use a color scale. You know, so I mean, from East Coast to West Coast, there's all of these different things to make a rider just confused as hell. And learned going out to like the Badlands in South Dakota, talking extensively with some of the people from those clubs, you know, they're in the process of switching from the 5 scale to the 10 scale because that was requested land managers on a federal scale. So we're like, okay, if we're going to play in the 10 scale, let's just start with the 10 scale and then utilize a trail rating system that could be universal for motorized recreation, because the trail criteria that dictates what that is needs to be spelled out. So a land manager can go, well, I want to build a level 4 trail. How do I do that? Right now it's like, well, Jim Bob from such and such club, he's the trail guy, man, he can run a skid steer better than anybody. You got to call him, you know, that doesn't really give the, you know, you got these tourism departments, you got municipalities that have all the equipment and the people that are experienced to run them. You just got to tell them how do we build the grades? How big are the obstacles? How deep are the ravines? And that's what we try to do with the trail rating system is we took a look at all the rating systems across the United States. We came up with the common things that each of those we have a way to present it and duplicate it. So trail rating system could be copied and pasted to any other recreation. And at the end, when you get to the 10 part of the 10 scale, everything jumps in, you know, 2-digit increments. So for your rock bouncers and the things that are beyond, you know, road legal, when stuff goes beyond 10 and you're beyond road legal, you can easily say, okay, at a level 11 trail, 11, 12 trail, it's all jumping in 2-digit increments. So it can expand way beyond 10.
Okay. So that system is detailed all on the website. Is that correct?
Yeah. You just jump right to the, I think it just says trail ratings tab.
Yeah.
You can read about it. And you can even, what's nice about our system is you can, once you have a profile, you can comment on each page. So if you want to give your input on something, like if something we didn't think of, this has been going on for, this trail rating system has been mulled over and revised for the last 2 years based on input we're getting from knowledgeable people who build trails. And that's, you know, when you go to that tab, that's where you see it. And if you want to put a comment under it, you can just jam out a comment and give your input. So,
yeah, what I noticed about your website and working directly with you is it's, Ryan's the guy kind of running the show with this website, and he had me on his website. I think that we talked one afternoon within an hour, it was like 10 minutes even. I was all of a sudden I was on the podcast section and we were working how to kind of have a direct link, and he was working on that on his end, kind of getting it ready. So it's a pretty, for the people not knowing, websites not always are easy to man, and they're not malleable. Mm-hmm. You know, but you seem to be able to figure that out faster than most. I know with my business website it takes a little time to get the guy to figure things out, so I'm glad that you're able to do that and add things and change things on the fly.
And that's another thing we build for the clubs that are part of Road Legal Drive, is we give them their own landing page, which, you know, shows their social media, it shows their events. Basically, if they throw something on their Facebook page or Facebook event or whatever, because that's easy for them to do, it'll automatically update their business page, you know, within our site. Mm-hmm. There's an incredible expense in time and money to have a good website. And typically we found that the clubs that have really great websites have people who do this as a career. And then when those career people leave the club or stop wanting to do all their stuff for free, the website either goes away or turns into one of the freebie websites that are sometimes really hard to look at. But, you know, we want to try to build that as a resource, but you know, some clubs, they got their own stuff figured out and they got it together and we just link to their stuff. Others, they utilize our stuff. You know, so I mean, it's very fluid. And we want to try to make it where the information is readily accessible. But like you said, you go to that website and it's like, wow, there's a lot of info. Well, yeah, there's a lot to know about our recreation. Mm-hmm. So we're still fine tuning it. We're still, you know, there was too much. Now we're bringing it back down. We're concentrating on site speed. We're working on a Android and Apple app for your phones for 2020. So we have to bring it down to the constraints of what, you know, mobile design limits us to. Mm-hmm. So a lot of the stuff you're seeing on our page, you know, it's not as glamorous as it could be. Well, that's because it has to be fast.
Yeah, exactly.
Usually those really artsy websites are intense, or, you know, they are utilizing a lot of the power of your cell phone, the bandwidth of your cell signal. And that's just not what you need out in the field. So.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad you're doing all those things and bringing it up to a modern piece. You know, the apps, I think, that's a great idea. And there's some other things that are on your website I want to touch upon here too. You have a shop section and, mm-hmm. You know, that's your imprinted items, like your shirts and cups and stickers and like, then you have a trail report. I want to touch upon that a little bit. I know that with the mountain biking that I do, you know, the trail report means, is it closed or not? Is this trail open or not? Is it under construction? Is it closed for deer season and such? But what's the trail report mean on your website?
So the trail ambassadors can submit trail reports. Mm-hmm. And it works very similar to volunteers. Let's say you go to our trails directory and you write a review for a trail and say, this trail's underwater, there's a gate up over it, be advised. You know, it's basically allowing the rider to submit real-time trail data and updates so that the rest of us stay informed. Oh, okay. The trail reports are more for the ambassadors, where to stay active as a trail ambassador, you have to go out and, you know, patrol trails or host rides or volunteer at one of the other rides or club events. So that stuff is all tracked. Like the hours of volunteer service are tracked. And then at our annual meeting, we give away prizes and recognition for those who are doing the volunteering, because that's what's keeping our trails open. So, you know, it's a recognition thing to do those logs, but we can also take those logs and say we got a landowner with 500 acres and they're like, well, I don't know if this is the right thing. We can say we have the insurance to cover you. We have the volunteers to run the events in a safe and responsible manner. We have the trail crew for doing brushing and making sure that the trails stay sustainable. Basically, we can go to any town board meeting, you know, any land manager, and have solutions to their objections. And that's how we've been able to open up, you know, half a dozen riding areas in Wisconsin and one in upper Michigan. So there's a method to this madness.
Well, it's important to keep the trails open, you know, the preservation and the trails piece, and you're educating us right now. So I liked your tagline when I saw that, and I wrote that down in my show notes, was like, I wanted to ask you about those things, and you're filling me in. I love it. So it's Christmas season, and I saw you have some business partners. I know that's your resellers. And on that page, why don't you tell us a little bit about that? That's kind of your business partners, I know. But why don't you tell us about that?
So the business part of the directory, you have businesses that are on trail, which are beneficial to us that are riding. And then there's the off trail ones that are more of like your .coms. And those are the folks that are also just supporting us. A lot of the dealers are the off trail dealers. You know, if you're going to buy a brand new rig, you know, these dealers are the ones who are giving you the best deals, aftermarket accessory, you know, extra hundreds of dollars worth of incentives and that kind of thing. And we really appreciate those dealers for those, you know, very valuable things, and those .coms that are giving back to the nonprofit based on, you know, sales volume coming in from those affiliate links or from, you know, the members. And it's just another great way for us to raise funds to do trail work or raise products to give away at events.
Awesome. So those are the people that are helping you guys out. So that'd be a good place for us to go to purchase some of the items that we're going to buy anyhow. But
Right.
That's awesome. Is there some discount codes in there also?
Yeah, various different businesses offer either a promotional code or talk to somebody here or order through this link. You know, we have a discount promotion through the thousands of Dunham stores to save money, you know, even on non-riding stuff. I mean, it's just, it's, you know, every business is different. Every promotional thing that they want to do is different. So we just try to list it in the directory of what they're comfortable doing and what, you know, because a, you know, Country Corner in Wakefield, Michigan is going to offer you an extra egg or, you know, 15% off, you know, which is going to be different than the restaurant down in Southeast Wisconsin doing the same thing, but a different discount. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's basically whatever they want to do.
Yeah. Well, that's great. You know, so for the listeners out there, that's just a good place to go check first before you make a big item purchase, because you might save yourself a few bucks. And then they know if it goes back to, they know where that comes from too. So
mm-hmm.
it comes through the website. So the few other things that we'll touch on, you have a magazine that gets kicked out. Is that a bi-monthly, every year? How does that work?
So the magazine's kind of like the last frontier. We actually have a publication here called The Trail Tales that goes out quarterly, but that's for the ATV and UTV side. Mm-hmm. And it's utilized through the 100 clubs in Wisconsin and goes to retail locations as well. But we want to really kick that off on the Road Legal Full Drive side, because there's enough content to produce a magazine. It's just I'm one dude. and to run a magazine, I mean, you need, you know, on the Trail Tales magazine, there's three people working on that magazine all the mm-hmm. time.
Yeah.
And there's just not enough people to run that type of thing yet. So I'm hoping that, you know, in this meeting here, we're going to start talking about who can run the nonprofit eventually and how we can spread out job duties between the different chapters and regional coordinators. And, you know, if they take some load off of me, I can do more of the publishing duties with the magazine and the online and offline and that kind of stuff. So,
okay, cool. Well, that's something we'll look forward to in the future, maybe. And,
yeah, absolutely.
The next thing on my list is what we're doing right now, podcast. So when I reached out to Ryan, he said, well, we have nothing in our audio section at all. And we had something there within an hour. It's this podcast. And so is that's something that's up there right now. It's on the website. You can go through the website actually to find this podcast you're actually listening to or the other old ones we have. And then you have a YouTube channel. I checked some things out there recently. Mm-hmm. You have some good picks. You actually have an overlanding section. I know that's something that you mentioned already. One of the things you wanted to talk about a bit more, because you have overlanding events coming up soon. Is that correct?
Yeah, so we have the Midwest Overland Expo, which is going to be Labor Day of 2020. And it's going to be a vendor show as well as we'll have slow speed trails there as well. We'll have what we're putting on the website is we're putting up these massive tours and routes on the website, which is going to be linked to that overlanding page along with the expos and events. And basically you'll be able to download a map file, and these huge legs are connecting all of these gravel roads and slow speed trails. And then the businesses are hyperlinked in those GPX files as well, or KML files, whichever one you use. And then those trails are actually linked in that trail file to those directory listings for that said trail. So if you want to read a review, let's say you download the Southern Wisconsin Overlanding Tour. Well, that is like, there's three different legs to that. And you download the file and it connects, you know, this 100 different gravel roads or whatever. You can see where the gas stops are. You can, you know, review each of those trails individually or just as the whole thing. I mean, there's a lot of different ways to do that. And the overlanding part is really again, where a lot of the market is. A lot of folks are more interested in overlanding as opposed to rock crawling. You know, your vehicles can do a lot of overlanding stock, and it's a good segue. It's like the gateway drug of wheeling, you know, so you get a taste of it with overlanding, and then you kind of build your rig from there.
I want to back up just a tiny bit because it's something that I didn't understand at all. You said GPX or KLM files. What's that downloading to? Is that a – explain that a bit more to me. I'm a novice on that side.
So the map files are either printable by PDF or, you know, whatever printed off on your printer. You have GPX files, which is more of a standard GPS file format for your, you know, Garmins and – traditional mapping apps on your phones and that and tablets. KML files are more of your Google Maps type files. It's the same thing. It's just a different file name.
Okay.
But basically you can download those things right out of the directory and put them right on your phone, GPS, whatever you use.
Okay.
And then that trail data shows up on whatever your preferred device is.
I might have a suggestion for you. If you could do a video and like detail it out, detail that out and just say, this is like downloading maps for dummies because when you start listing all that stuff off, if you're a guy who's been doing it for 5 years, you're like, oh yeah, GPS, KLM, all this stuff. It's no problem. But if you're like, I just got a phone and I want to be able to download it to this app or app you might suggest. I suggested Gaia GPS last time because I heard some other guys talking about that on one of the 10 different podcasts I listened to about off-roading and overlanding. Because I know it's an app you can use without a data plan. So if you're out there in the sticks and there's no cell coverage, and there's other like the Garmins, obviously they use satellites, they use this, you know, cell. So my suggestion might be, hey, put together a video, throw it on YouTube, and say this is how you download it to this area and how what I'm talking about. So,
We are, and the thing is the software changes. you know, it's one of those things we will put definitely in our trails, you know, getting started in downloading maps. Chapter one, what device do you have? If you're the Android route, go Backcountry Navigator Pro. If you're Apple, Gaia works pretty good. Basically what you're looking for is a device where you can download maps to use offline and store the map data off your phone on a SD card. There's very few programs that can do both those things.
Yeah.
So
that's awesome.
Yeah. Definitely going to have that up there.
Because you started listing that off. I'm going like, okay, I don't know what you're talking about at all. and that's just I'm not a computer nerd at all. It takes me forever to figure things out sometimes. But if there's a video on YouTube, I can do a step by step instructions like nobody's business. I figured out how
to. On the trails, the map guide under trails, there's a tab called map guide and it has that. There's three videos already and a little snippet of info on how to use the interactive maps, but they're kind of outdated. I did it on a phone though, so that, you know, you can see it. And like our directory, when you go to the directory, if you're out in the woods, you can just click the little four-way crosshair symbol and it'll find the trail closest to you. You know, it'll reorganize the entire directory based on where you are. So.
And that's if I click on what now? Trails?
Yeah. So if you go on the trails tab and then the map guide.
Okay.
That's kind of where we're building the how to use stuff.
Okay. Well, I'll check that out. So I invite everybody else to kind of check that piece out too. So
it's kind of outdated, but it's going to get a drastic facelift once we had to make sure, you know, there's different parts of each program. We got to make sure it's compatible with everything else, you know, that it's sustainable, that it is secure, because obviously we can't have stuff getting hacked, and easy to maintain. So some of the things have gone away, you know, just for one of those reasons, but the stuff that's on that map tab should still work pretty good.
Yep, I'm taking a peek at it right now on my iPad. So I'm just trying to figure some of those things out. And that's awesome. So you got a lot of information on the website. I want you guys all to just check it out, rl4wd.com, and just kind of poke around a little bit, because you'll find a lot of things that will be very informational to you. If you're an overlander, or if you're just looking for some trails to go on, or you want to do some sort of adventure. I also know that I talked about Cook County, and Scott up in Cook County, he said he's already getting some, you know, questions from different people up there. There seems to be a lot of questions. Even there's the kid, I mentioned him earlier in the podcast. His name is Derek, and he asked me about trails and about what trails to go on. So there's a lot of like, where can I go? What can I do on these trails? And yep. A lot of times when I want to go to a trail, I, you know, or a system or an event, I'm like, what's it look like? So I don't know the answer. I go to YouTube and try to see a video of, like, that's why the first time we went off-roading, I was watching videos from the years before of this Chuck's Winter Run. I was like, okay, I could probably do that. And hopefully I can stay away from that section, because it's just crazy. But that's kind of how you get your information. And so you have a very good website to kind of help people understand what trails in Wisconsin and beyond might look like for us. So you mentioned, you know, my little notes here, how do we join? Obviously there's levels of membership, and you already detailed that piece out. I talked about your website, talked about events. I think we hit all the things that I had on my show notes, but is there anything else you'd like to add?
Yeah. Under that trails tab, there's that full directory. You got a basically a map that shows up once you have a free or paid profile, and it'll bring you to areas in a very easy to follow format. And one of the things that people wanted to do is, with hundreds of listings, you know, the guys who just want slow speed trails are like, I don't want to see gravel roads and crap. So we actually have a trail type tab that once you're in the directory, you can just click, I only want to see slow speed trails, or I only want to see dirt trails, or, you know, gravel and paved are okay. You know, it organizes everything, and we build these things based on feedback from folks like yourself. You know, the data is so extensive, it has to be organized in a way where you can just go to trails, click one thing, and it redoes the whole directory based on whatever you just picked.
Yeah, you have some drop downs I'm seeing. So you can see one of the things is like open to everybody or tight for a four door. It's kind of your breakdowns a little bit. So starting to see, I'm reading about one here, Jute Trail, Boulder Junction, Wisconsin. So level 3, you kind of, the drop downs kind of zero down to what you're looking for. Kind of like if you're looking for a car, I want to, you know, a black four door Jeep Wrangler, you can find that. You know what? You know, 2012 or whatever. It zeroes down to whatever's in your region. So this one does the same thing for you for the trails, and it has some download sections here: GPX, KML. Awesome! It's pretty extensive. Yeah. So I love your website.
Yeah. once we put the tours up, that's going to be a connection of all the different trails, and basically we're going to connect all different areas throughout, you know, huge swaths of, or parts of a state. Working on stuff. I'm even doing a Lake Michigan Circle tour. There's an overlanding tour section that's coming soon. That's going to just really be helpful. You know, you don't have to download each individual file. You don't have to spend a lot of time going through the website. It'll be like, let's do Southeast Wisconsin. Boom. One file, go. And just make it happen. And then we'll have a printed like tour guide for that trail. So it'll talk about the places to eat, the types of trail, some of the history of the topography. So basically there's a printed version, or you can download it too, of course, to your phone or tablet or whatever. But we wanted to always have a way to print something that we have on the website, because digital data is only good to a certain extent. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So we always try to incorporate a printed version or PDF version of the same thing we're doing in a digital version. So,
well, again, thanks for doing that, 'cause I think that there's a lot of questions out there from the, you know, the newer off-roader or somebody wants to go visit a region, like, well, where do I go? What do I do? And where's the gas station? What do I eat? You know, and so if you guys have it all kind of listed off for somebody, just, you know, say, hey, I want to go, like you said, Southeast Wisconsin, and what can I do? Where can I go? Print, go, or download and go. Yeah. It takes all those questions away like that. It's just, it's kind of a one-stop shop. So, and you guys are,
and that'll be in the Learn tab. So if you go to the Learn tab and go to all courses, we got courses for training how to build trails and build clubs, right on down to the map training, driver training, how to become a trail ambassador. I mean, we're putting together all these courses and curriculums so that a lot of it can be done online. Some of the stuff like guiding and, you know, you're still going to have to do a physical test out at a location somewhere because you got to know, you know, advanced winching 101, you got to know how to use a snatch block. You got to know how to do it on hills and blah, 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 blah. And you really can't do some of that stuff without actually being with an instructor face to face. So, but for almost everything else, you can do it online. And that's what we're building that part of the site for.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, I think I mean, one of the questions I have on here was, why would somebody want to join this club or this site? And I think we gave a lot of reasons why you might want to join it and be a part of this program. If you're going to do some overlanding, off-roading anywhere, if you want to know more about where to go, this is, it looks like a great resource to get involved in. So I invite you guys who are listening, when you're not driving your car, go ahead and open up the website, take a look at it, peruse along a little bit, make yourself a profile for free so you got that part started. And then if it suits your needs, go ahead and join. And it's I've learned a lot today by listening to you and you, what you're talking about with RL4WD.com. So I want to invite my people to go check it out. So there's also a Facebook page, and there's some good YouTube channels on there. And if you go to the video section, it's on the website. You can actually see some of the videos. And there was a funny one that you posted. I forget who it was, but there was an Amazon driver stuck out in the middle of the woods with an Amazon van. I got a kick out of that
one. Yeah, we actually had to do an Amazon van recovery out on the trail. It was like a level 3 trail. And I don't know what possessed the, because I mean, it's still a road. It's a, technically a road, and it shows up on the GPS map. But after like the third mud hole that was bottoming it out, you would have thought, maybe this isn't good for a van. It got buried, but it was a highlight of our trip. Like, oh, that's something. You'd think, oh man, is this like a drug deal gone bad or something? You know, like, what is this thing? Because it's an unmarked vehicle. It doesn't have anything on it. And I'm like, oh man, we could be walking into a rat's nest here. But it was just a driver that was distressed doing deliveries for Amazon. So
well, I think the guy who put the video on says somebody ordered Jeep parts, and this is some great service.
Yeah. Like,
that is hilarious. Awesome. All right, Ryan. Well, thanks for sitting in today. I think we're definitely going to have you on again. You've been a wealth of knowledge for us, for me, and for the listeners. So thanks again, Ryan, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right, sounds good.
Hey, thanks for listening. Next week, I'll be talking to somebody new about off-roading and the off-roading lifestyle. Hope you guys will join us. Thanks.